Hi, I'm Kathy Forsty, music director here at KC Cafe Radio. Today we have the great pleasure of speaking to the incredibly talented American folk pop duo, the Keller Sisters. Their newest CD is titled Shine. Cheryl and Carrie grew up in San Francisco and started singing together at an early age, performing in glee clubs, choir, and musical theater. They're the daughters of film and theater performer Eileen Christie. They spent their summers on the road with their mom, but by their teens, the sisters were performing together, playing country rock, folk, and standards. Carrie and Cheryl, thanks so much for joining us today on KC Cafe Radio.
Thank you for having us,
thanks
Kathy.
Thanks so much.
So which one of the two of you is the oldest?
Oh, that would be Cheryl, and she's way, way older.
Yeah, what?
And
what
older? No, 2.5 years.
2.5 between us.
Less than two and a half, yes.
So which one of you started playing music first then?
I would say, this is Cheryl, I did because I got a guitar on my 13th birthday, a little nylon string guitar. So although we both played piano when we were very little, but we really didn't get serious about instruments until that first guitar, I would say.
Okay. So just so I get the two of you straight on this, on the album cover, which one of you is holding the banjo?
That would be Carrie. That's me.
Okay.
Yes.
How long have you played the banjo?
I don't play the banjo. It was a prop.
Okay.
Cheryl, however, does play some banjo. This banjo on the album cover, though, however, was definitely a prop. It's a 6-string banjo that we have never played on the recording or live. Cheryl plays a little bit of a 5-string banjo here and there, and she's learning more and more, and we're going to try to incorporate that into some upcoming songs.
Yes.
Great. So you just mentioned some upcoming songs. Do you have another CD in the works now?
Yes, in fact, we just booked our first session this afternoon. We're going to start the next CD February 8th. Yes, will be our first session. So we're really excited about that. It's been a long time coming, so we're excited.
Yeah, this CD was put out in, 2012?
Yes, it was November 2012.
Yeah, so just the end of the year.
Yes, end of the year. So we're really looking forward to it. We learned a lot. So hopefully we can use all those things that we learned and have this next one go a lot faster.
Yeah. Well, this one is a great CD. I really love it. I love all the songs on it. There's some really personal songs on there as well as some just really fun songs, some comedic kind of songs. And you can tell you had a good time recording it.
That we did.
Yeah.
We worked with also Phil Billy Milner in San Francisco. And he's a wonderful producer, and he also helped us with a lot of the instrumentation.
Right.
And he's just a great guy to work with, and we had a lot of fun.
Well, one of the things I really love about the CD are your harmonies. Has it just been natural for you guys to sing together like that?
Yes. We have been singing together since we were very little. My mother used to trot us out at parties, and she would teach us a song, and she would have us sing for all her friends. And this is when we were very little. I would say maybe, I don't know, 7 and 9, somewhere around there. So we have always sung harmonies. We used to work on harmonies while walking to school or walking up to our local little shopping street on the weekends. We would be working out harmonies, started with Everly Brothers songs and Beatles.
Yeah, the Everly Brothers. There's no better harmonies than the Everly Brothers. They were just incredible.
Just incredible stuff. I was very sorry to hear about the passing of Phil Everly. That's the end of an era. And I'm sure that so many people learned to sing harmony from listening to them. I mean, they're just kind of the gold standard.
Or inspired to start.
Or inspired to sing, yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I mentioned in your bio that you guys used to go on the road with your mom. She did a lot of musical theater?
Yes, she did. She started out in musical theater, and then we moved to Hollywood when we were really little. Carrie and I were actually born down in Southern California because she got into films. And then my father, and they both were from San Francisco, and my father's father offered him a job in his insurance business, and they felt it would be the best thing for the family to move back up to San Francisco. So my mother switched from film to her first love, which was musical theater. But it meant a lot of touring, which was you know, difficult. We were very young, and we had always had someone come and stay in the house to take care of us because my mother would be gone for, oh, I don't know, three or four months.
The longest she was gone was in New York, and that was when I was about 11, I guess, doing the, she did the 20th revival of Carousel with John Raitt, actually. And that took her away for actually several months that year, as I recall.
Yeah, she was a beautiful woman. Is your mom still around, or?
No, unfortunately, she passed away in 2010.
She was a beautiful woman. I was looking at some of her old the billboards from her movies and things. She was in a movie called I Dream of Jeannie. And
Yeah.
That looked like it was a great movie. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I'd like to look it up and see it someday.
Well, it's quite politically incorrect is what I would say.
Really?
it was the minstrel day, you know, the blackface and the minstrels, and that was, you know, kind of the old showboat days and the old Stephen Foster.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of that in that movie, which we didn't really remember as kids, but we had viewed it recently and just kind of looking at each other like, oh, I don't know about that. But yeah. But it was story of Stephen Foster.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a story of Stephen Foster's life, so that would be interesting just to see that.
Well, she had an incredible voice, and she was one of nine children, and actually they all were very musically talented. Her mother taught herself how to play the piano, and all the kids sing at that piano. So it was a very talented family. Only a few of her siblings left now, but very talented family.
Well, it passed down through generations because you guys are talented singers as well. So
thank you.
We're talking with the Keller Sisters. Their music is available on CD Baby as well as iTunes and Amazon, and you can also stream their music on Django and Spotify. And you can look them up at thekellersisters.com is their website. So since you guys started singing at an early age, was that something you always thought you would do, or is it something that at one point in your life you thought, oh, we're done with this music thing, we're going to do other things?
Well, I'm not sure about doing it professionally. I think when I was younger, I think I did have dreams more of following in my mother's footsteps in that direction, more in the musical theater. Then we, you know, when we got into our early teens and got the guitars and started playing folk songs and were influenced by a lot of other artists, I think we went in a different direction. And we did sing a lot as teenagers and even into our early 20s. And then we both ended up, you know, getting married and have children and families and didn't really start singing together again until a few years ago in a cover band. And then when Cheryl started writing, we decided to perform as a duo again just a couple years ago. And it's been a ball ever since.
Yeah, it has.
So was Blue Tuesday the cover band you guys were in?
Yes.
What kind of covers would you guys do?
Well, we do everything from the Eagles to Steely Dan to
some Beatles.
We do quite a bit of blues as well. And fun.
Cheryl's husband is the lead guitar. He's quite good.
He's quite good guitar player.
And Cheryl and I sing vocals. Yeah, we have a lot of fun in the cover band as well.
So it's a real family affair there then, with the husband on guitar and the sister singing.
It is. It's been kind of interesting this last couple of years because it's been hard to fit both in because we have been, well, last year we played quite a lot as the duo and the band sort of suffered. So this year I'm trying to make an effort to make it a bit more even to keep everybody happy.
So do you think you'll go out touring as both the Keller Sisters and also as Blue Tuesday?
Well, we definitely will do a couple of small tours as the Keller Sisters. The band, that's just too difficult. That's
like herd and cat.
It is. It's just difficult. There are six members, and most of them have other things that they do, including jobs. Our first year, we played a lot of festivals, but made sure that we kept it fairly close to home so that we wouldn't be traveling that far because it was just very hard to put it together. But it's a lot of fun. We have a good time.
Well, we'd love to tour, but we both also have full-time 9-to-5 Monday through Friday jobs. So, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So makes it difficult to find the time.
Right. So what do you guys do outside of music then? What are your 9-to-5s?
Well, I'm a travel agent, and I work for American Express doing corporate travel.
Uh-huh.
I do real estate lending. I've been in real estate lending for about 25 years, so I've been doing it a long time.
Not as long as I've been a travel agent.
Yeah.
Wow, that's neat. It's great that you guys take time to still do music, even though you work 9-to-5 jobs. I also work 9-to-5 at regular job other than Casey Cafe Radio, and I also perform and sing, and so it can be a lot, but it keeps, I think, being busy is a good thing.
Absolutely. Definitely. You have to have some sort of creative outlet. I mean, we always have since we were children, and I can't imagine not having music in our lives. That just wouldn't work for me.
Right. It's a part of who you are.
Yeah, definitely.
So you mentioned writing. When did you start writing?
Well, I started writing in 2011, and I did try to write when I was younger. Never really got anywhere with it. But I think if you've been around music your whole life, and especially if you're in a band and learning other people's songs, start to kind of figure out song structure a bit. And I decided I would take an online class at a local junior college. I was a little too timid to go somewhere and try to do it with a big room of people. So I did that for a couple of semesters, and the teacher suggested that I come into the class, and it was just wonderful. And I met so many talented songwriters, and through that experience, we've just made so many great connections. So it's all pretty, the actual writing is fairly recent, and I just kind of addicted to it. I just love it, and I can't imagine how I ever lived without doing it. So it's been really fun. In fact, my songwriting teacher, who's a very talented songwriter, he just had a CD release show at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, and we ended up, Carrie and I ended up as a couple of his backup singers, which was
backup harmony.
Really fun. So that whole experience has just opened us up to so many wonderful musicians, songwriters, and styles of music as well.
So, Carrie, do you write as well?
No, I don't. I'm not sure that I really have a talent for it. I've tried on occasion, and I'll come up with a line or two or a verse, and I don't know. I just don't think it's my thing, but I'm so proud of my sister, and you know, maybe we'll try to co-write something with her guidance. I wouldn't mind giving that a try, but I haven't written any songs, and her songs are so wonderful. I'm just happy to be a part.
Well, you guys should definitely try and write together. I think that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I think we will do that. The thing about us is we are so similar, and we literally finish each other's sentences. We're so close. So it would be interesting writing together to see if we can bring different ideas from a different perspective to the table. Because we are so similar. But it would be interesting. I would like to try that, definitely. And, you know, I definitely use Carrie in my process. There's no doubt about it. We sit together and I'll play things I'm working on and we have conversations about it, and her input is extremely valuable. She's got a great ear. She's just very talented. And
I am her muse on a couple of...
She is my muse. She comes up with those lines that are kind of hilarious and just have to be written down and used in a song, that's for sure.
That's great. So do you write on the guitar mostly?
Yes. I have so far only written on the guitar and keep thinking that I should... I may want to try a different way of doing it, but it hasn't been the case so far. I've been playing guitar for so long, and it's just my comfort zone. But I do hear melodies in my head, and I'll put them into my... I just did on the way over here, as a matter of fact.
A voice memo
on my phone, because something popped into my head, and I thought, oh, I can't let this go. I need to put this somewhere.
Well, write it down while you have it fresh in your mind. If I don't write it down right away, I forget it. So.
Yes, that is so true. It's amazing how many things I have in my phone. I just listened to it a couple of weeks ago. I went through and listened to all the voice memos. Some of them are so old. I can't believe they're still there. And some of them aren't bad. Some of them, I'm going to go through there and mine some of those ideas and start writing them down, see if I can use any of them.
Yeah, I know what I do a lot of times as a songwriter, too. If I'm stuck, I can't feel like I can write, I'll just go back and find an old song of mine and rework on it again. And sometimes that conjures up new words and new phrases, and it's fun to rework old songs. So
yes, definitely, definitely. I have some. My teacher called it the song graveyard. That's what he called his.
Yes.
And he has just, obviously hundreds and hundreds of them.
I wanted to ask you about Shine, which is available on CD Baby, iTunes, and Amazon. And you can also listen to it and downstream it, I think, on your website as well, can't you?
Yes. We have the CD Baby link on the website. And I think we might also have the link on our Facebook page. And we have a Reverb Nation page. And
okay.
I think you wrote it from all those. Yikes, the social media. I know. Yikes. Yikes. We just recently decided to venture into Twitter. Wow. We tweet.
So you guys are Twittering, huh?
I guess we could call it that.
We should be on our phones right now tweeting.
We should be tweeting. But it's too much. I can't talk and then hold things and tie rituals.
Yeah.
I can't do all that at the same time. It's much too difficult.
You can't multitask that much.
Right.
Well, I was going to ask you about the song Hillbilly Blonde. Where did that song come from, and who's it about?
Well, that song, my older daughter is a bartender. She has blonde hair down to her waist, and it's very light blonde. And we were in her bar, and this funny old man called her Hillbilly Blonde. And I looked at Carrie, I think, and said, that's either a band name or a song title. I thought it was just really funny. And I had it stuck in my head for days and days and days, and I wrote it down. The song just kind of came out of that. It's not about anyone in particular, but it conjured up a type of person to me and just kind of made me laugh.
Which is really not her daughter.
No, not at all.
Daughter at all.
Strange, because,
yeah,
far from a hillbilly.
Right.
But I just thought it was funny, yes, it conjured up an image, and I went from there. That was one of the first songs I wrote, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it was good. It was a good one.
It's been kind of fun. That's one of the only songs that we play with the band as well, because people can dance to it, and
it crosses over and is danceable.
And that's been a fun one.
Can't Believe My Luck is kind of more in that vein as well.
Yes, these were all written during a songwriting semester where I had to come up with a song a week. And while they would not be fully formed after a week, I find that when I have a deadline, I work well. And I think all the songs on the CD, except for Hillbilly Blonde, all the rest of them came out of that semester of songwriting class. That's where they started. And Can't Believe My Luck just started as a story, and I don't even know where that came from. And it wasn't that long ago that I wrote it, but I think back to some of those songs, and I don't really know where they came from. I remember when I started writing them, but I don't necessarily remember where they came from. That one, I just wanted to write a story song and came up with that story and then fleshed it out and ended up really liking. I ended up really liking that song.
Yeah, that's good.
And Carrie sings that one, and she does a great job on that
song. That's always well received, that song, because it's humorous. Cheryl writes some funny songs that didn't make the CD and probably won't make the next one, but we certainly have a good time performing them.
Yes, we do. A lot of kazoo,
miscellaneous instruments when we're live, between the harmonica and the kazoo and the cajon and the gyro and the egg and the...
Well, sounds like you do a really fun live show then.
Yeah, we have a good time. We do have a good time. Sometimes it's a little difficult to keep a
straight face.
Straight face, yeah.
Yes. But we have fun. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? If you're not having fun, why do it? What is the point?
Exactly, exactly. Well, another story song that's on here is That Room. That's more of a personal song about your life growing up with your mom.
Yes, and that was... That literally came from a class assignment that we were to write about a place. And I started thinking about the room that we shared in San Francisco. We shared a room until we were 30. Okay, this is really weird now. No, we did share a room for quite a long time. And that was our room in San Francisco. That was when my mom was traveling a lot. And my dad would bring in a series of nannies, and we would terrorize them and drive them away. We were kind of awful. But that's what that song was about. It was a sort of snapshot in time, and we really did spend so much time in that room, and we put on shows for each other, and we
did adventures
and shows and haunted houses and all
there.
The things you do when you're kids, mm-hmm. and in that room, and we sang and danced, and we had a Beatles record player, and in fact, I still have it in my attic.
You do?
I do. And it's one of those little record players that you flip up and you put the album on it and then put the needle on it. It's an old record player, but it was a Beatles record player, and it has their picture on it. And I'm sure it's probably worth some money.
In decent shape.
Yeah. That was on a high dresser, and we would play the Beatles records, the Beverly Brothers and Beatles.
45.
Yeah.
45.
In that room, and we would dance around and sing and, you know,
practice our harmonies
and all those things you do when you're a kid. And we had a very fun childhood, but it was a very different childhood. And I think looking back on it, the fact that my mom was traveling and my dad was holding down the fort, and this was in the 60s, I guess.
Early 60s.
And that was quite something to have the woman out earning a living. He worked as well, but he took care of us and always had someone come in to help. But I think that was very unusual at that time for the man to hold down the fort and the woman to go off and pursue her dream.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah, your mom was a modern woman.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we would get lots of letters from her on the road and then...
Telling us what to do.
Telling us, right.
How to dress.
What
shoes to wear.
Yeah, but, you know,
I'm sure
it was very hard for her. You know, just wanting to be with us, but wanting to do what she loved, and she was so good at it. She really was so wonderful. Interesting times, definitely.
Yeah, because a lot of women, they sort of give up, like, their creative careers like that, like singing and performing and acting to have a family. And it's great that your mom had the support of your father to be able to pursue that.
Definitely. I mean, that I think was very unusual for that time. And in fact, we threw them a party for their 50th wedding anniversary. And my mother sang
Wind Beneath My Wings
to a room filled with family and friends. And honestly, even the men were crying because everyone who knew us and who knew her and who knew my father, that's really what it was. He was just an incredibly wonderful person and so supportive, and it was very special.
Yeah, that's a beautiful love story. You should write a song about them and that.
Well, I as that came out of my mouth, I thought, wow, a lot to talk about there. Yeah, yes, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, so I get credit for this, that song.
You do.
Song cred.
You will definitely, I can't believe I didn't think about that until you mentioned it. Wow.
Well, okay. Collected effort.
Yeah.
So how did you decide on the title of this CD to be Shine?
Well, we did this at Okie Doke Studios in San Francisco. We met these talented people and found out that they're in a band, and this is the Jenny Kerr Band in San Francisco, and she's just wonderful. And her partner, and he's also in the band, is Phil Milner, Phil Billy, they call him, and he's incredibly talented. So while we were recording this, and this was our first effort, so there was a lot of brainstorming, and they really loved that song, and I think it was Jenny who said, oh, you know, maybe this should be the title of the CD, and I kind of thought about it, and then I realized that it sort of had a double meaning for both of us, that it, you know, we've been doing cover songs for years, and now it was kind of our time to shine. So it kind of had a double meaning, and that's how it ended up.
Great. I like that. It's a happy title. You know, a lot of times you look at CDs and you're like, oh, what kind of CD am I going to listen to here? And then what? But I saw the title of this. I'm like, this is going to be a nice, fun CD. I can tell just by the title.
Yeah.
I described your title, your musical style, as American folk pop. What does that mean to you?
Well, we feel like we're folk, but then we get sort of put in an Americana genre, and I think that's only because of the instrumentation. I don't know.
And that's sort of a new version, isn't it?
And I think Americana is a very wide swath. But then I always feel that the songs have kind of a bit of a poppy element because I like the hooks. You know, I'm kind of into having a fun chorus and a hook, and I always feel that that's a little more on the poppy side than Americana music that I listen to. And I listen to all kinds of music. We both do.
Yeah.
And somebody came up with that. I think it was you that said American folk pop. Somebody said it, and I liked the way it sounded, and I thought, well, let's stick with that. Yeah. We did.
So let me ask you this. What is your favorite cut on the CD?
A tough one. I just listened to it in my car today. I hadn't listened to it in a really long time, and I thought, I better listen to it so that I remember some of these songs and what we're going to talk about. What would be my favorite cut?
Well, you know, I like all of them. There's elements of each one of them that I absolutely love. If I had to pick a favorite,
I would probably pick that room just because it is about us. It's our story, and it really is true. So that would probably be the pick. But that's the only reason that would be the pick, because I really,
musically, I love so many. I love all of them. But that room for me is extra sentimental, just because it is so. It's just us.
Well, great. Tell me about the CD that you're going to start working on. Is it going to be a lot different than Shine, or what can we expect for the next CD?
So far, there's the songs seem a little depressing. I didn't want to say depressing. I don't know why they're ending up. It's ending up to be this theme of the scorned woman, and I don't know how the heck that happened. I really don't. So I've been thinking the last few weeks that maybe need to put a few
happy and skippy numbers in.
Yeah, a little happier. So there's a couple that are sort of amusing, but there is a bit of a darker theme, and I don't know how that is happening. But we just want to get in and start recording again, and we're kind of moving forward. So we'll see how it ends up, but there's one song in particular that I absolutely love, and it's a ballad, and it's kind of a folk ballad, and it's the subject matter, it's just a little sad, but
a little?
Okay. Okay, a lot sad, but it's a good song.
It's a great song.
It's a great song,
but it's heavy duty, that one.
Yes.
Well, that'll be something to look forward to then for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. The instrumentation probably will be similar, I would think. I mean, we haven't really gotten quite that far yet. We have to have our conference with our producer and see what he has to say. But I would think the instrumentation is going to be fairly similar.
Are you going to record it at the same studio as well?
Yep. Yes. Same studio, same producer. And the good news is we learned so much the last time, and now the idea would be to get in and do it
quicker than last time?
Quicker and to know more what we want, because the first one, we didn't really know even how we wanted it to sound, and it just sort of evolved, and we were really happy with it, and so now we kind of, we have in our heads already how we want it to sound.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more electric maybe on this one, possibly. A little bit more percussion, possibly. Those are the things that I'm kind of milling around in my head and we're having discussions about.
Mm-hmm. And this is a question I like to ask performers like yourself, because I think it tells a lot about what's your musical tastes are. Who is your favorite song that was written by somebody else and why? Go ahead and answer it first, Cheryl.
Oh, favorite song that was written by somebody else.
And that way Carrie can think about it while you're answering.
There are so many.
It's harder to have me think of.
We went to a songwriter in the round performance at the Freight and Salvage last night in Berkeley and saw some incredible songwriters. Steve Seskin is one of them. I don't know if you've heard of him. But a couple of these songwriters have written songs that have been cut by some big country people, and they mentioned Alan Shamlin, who wrote, I believe he wrote, I Can't Make You Love Me, the song that Bonnie Raitt sings.
Mm-hmm.
That does have to be one of my all-time favorite songs, although I have so many. And I think it's Alan Shamlin.
I think that's
that.
The name, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with that because it's fresh in my
mind. Oh, my God. Now I'm on the spot.
Yes, you're on the spot.
And I'm not a songwriter, and my memory is awful. So I do know who I love as artists and who are phenomenal songwriters. And, you know, certainly one that would stick out in my mind would be Paul Simon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love him. It's hard to pick a song, but I do love his style of writing. And, you know, way back to Bob Dylan and
Joni Mitchell, of course.
Incredible. I mean, you know, but to pick an actual song, and to remember the title, phone interview, I don't know. I'm just going to leave it general. How about that? I'll pick Joni Mitchell as my favorite.
Okay, that's a good answer. She definitely wrote a ton of great songs.
It's just incredible, absolutely incredible.
Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me.
Yes, this was really fun.
Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate it.
Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Anything we want to mention?
Well, I was going to thank her for all the support on Casey.
Yeah, thank you so much. I must say, having this is our first effort, and it's pretty amazing that anybody is even listening to the music. We're still just blown away. Yes, we are. We're blown away that people are listening and that we are connecting and people are coming out to our shows, and we are just very thrilled, grateful,
thankful,
and blessed, amazed. Yeah, it's been wonderful. And thank you so much, you guys at KC, because you're a huge part of it.
Well, we're thrilled to have you on the station and playing your music. I really love this CD, and there's only 6 songs on the CD, but all 6 of them are awesome. I want to remind everyone that they can get your music at Amazon and iTunes and also purchase it at CD Baby. And it's also streaming on Django and Spotify. Or you can go to the Keller Sisters website, which is www.thekellersisters.com, and hear their music there and find out more about them. Thanks again, guys, for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Kathy. It was really a pleasure.